Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I want to teach on 1 Corinthians tonight, and the reason I chose that is because I really relate with the Corinthians. I was a sinner out there doing all the things that Corinthians did. I lived like a Corinthian. There was that saying back in the day, to live like a Corinthian. I don't know if you guys have read Corinthians, but I'm going to assume that I know there are people that have, and I'm going to assume there's some people that haven't. And so basically, to give you some backstory on Corinth, it's just a book that I keep on coming back to, and I'm wondering why the Lord just keeps on drawing me back to this book. And it's really because I relate to these people. And I relate to these people not just because, you know, they're, you know, totally debaucherized out there. I know that's a word I just made up. But, you know, they're just like in total debauchery. They're just in total, Paul came on his first mission trip to build that church in Corinth. And they didn't quite get it. They didn't quite get it. And I remember the first time when I thought that I had accepted the Lord. I was very young. And this young pastor, well, I had a real crazy dream, which I'm not going to go into because I don't want to waste too much time. But basically, this dream made me understand the absence of God. And it presented a fear in my heart. And I believe that's the first thing to really understanding God, is that we need Him. There is a need for Him in our lives. And so when you realize that need, then you're like, wow, I need to do something. So, you know, I called my buddy because I knew, you know, he was a church-going kind of cat. And so I called him. I was like, hey, man, you know, I just had this horrible dream, man. I just woke up in sweats, and I want to talk to your minister. I want to talk to your pastor. Well, his pastor was a younger man by the name of Troy McCutcheon, a very nice man, very, very good man. And he was just a young guy. Now that I look back, I hate to name names or drop names. It was a Church of Christ, and they believe a lot in the baptism of that's what gets you going, and just like some church, which we're about to get warned in here, that, you know, speaking of tongues, Corinth was big into that, you know, that day of Pentecost, and they were just kind of following that whole deal and got wrapped up in this speaking of tongues. And, well, that didn't, you know, Paul warns against that, but I came into this understanding that, hey, if I get baptized, man, you know, I'm going to know the Lord, and, it, you know, all this stuff, this is going to be exciting. So this guy, you know, pulls me in, you know, I was a young Christian, just like these guys in Corinth, and as they were a young church, but, you know, I thought that I believed, but then I started getting persecuted, and then I started getting, you know, things started showing up in my life, you know, narcotics and things being offered me that were never offered before. So the enemy was just like, this guy's going down. And I did. I went down. So as these guys did as well, they got into that position where, you know, Corinth was a town that separated. It was a huge town of trade. There's you have Asia on one side, and I believe it was like Italy on the other. And so there was a lot of trade going through there, which is an awesome opportunity to spread the gospel there, because you're getting, you know, people are coming and going, but also a great place to go sin, because everything was there. Money, anything you could possibly imagine. And so and not to mention there, of course, as we see throughout the, you know, the Bible, something that man loves getting caught up in is that believing in false idols, that idol worship, Aphrodite, which the god of the day in Corinth, that they believed in, and, you know, which led to a lot of sexual immorality. And they were huge on man's wisdom. Searching for man's wisdom, looking, you know, the philosopher. You hear the old Greek philosophers, you know, Plato and whatever, and all these guys, you know. Well, you know, the deal is, you know, if anybody who's read the word and knows that only wisdom comes from God. Wisdom only comes from the one who made us. And any time that you think that you are so smart that you have come up with, you know, this ultimate idea of being, you know, that you found this way to be wiser than the next guy, I'm telling you right now, there's someone wiser than that, and someone wiser than that. And I'll tell you what, it's not because they came up with this grandiose idea. It's just like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I thought I was so wise, and I still ended up at a breaking point to where I was nothing. And I realized all my endeavors were failure. And I think that here, that's what Paul's going to try to point out here is like, you know, God had equipped me with these gifts. He's equipped the Corinthians with these gifts, all these spiritual gifts. He gives us, he does it all for us, man. I mean, all we have to do is give ourselves. We got to be that living sacrifice. And this whole deal, I know we're in 1 Corinthians, and I know I'm not starting at chapter 1. I'm starting in chapter 12. And I think that that's very apropos in the time that we're in right now in this church. And just, and I think in anywhere you are in life, I believe that chapter 12 is something that I didn't completely understand when finally I did decide to experience Jesus Christ. When I decided to experience him, I remember I had a guy come to me, and, you know, it was Sheldon, so I didn't want to call out any names, but I'm going to. So anyway, he came out, and you know, I was in the world, and we were out at this art showing, and you know, he's passing out these things, and I was just like, you know, I was, you know, wanting to go get a beer. I think we did go get a beer, and he's like, I'm going to go. I'm just going to stand out here, and I was like, what are you doing? Come in and have a beer with us. Stop being retarded. So, you know, I'm like, this is lame, you know, and I was just like, I don't understand. I don't understand why, you know, we're bros, man. Come bro down with us and have a drink. See, he told me he was a Christian. He said, you know, I know Jesus. I was like, me too. Great. Let's go have a drink. Yeah, now I look back and I'm like, okay, so I was wrong. So, it doesn't make sense, you know, to love Jesus and then go be a drunkard. Yeah, it doesn't go together. So, but, you know, what happened was at the end of the night, you know, we ended up in a car together because I had to take him back to his place. And I'm thinking at this point, I probably don't want to be in the same car with him because he's going to hit me. He's going to hit me with something because he just was acting weird, and I don't know. I think it was mostly conviction because I knew that he must have been really serious about this whole God thing in which that I forsook so many years, over a decade back. And, you know, he just was like, man, you know, he shared that testimony of that Jesus loved me no matter what. And I needed to hear that because I was at the end of my rope. I was at the end, guys. I was at the end. And I don't know why the Lord just waited all the way. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have appreciated it the same way as I did. You know, he had to make that trash treasure. I had to understand that I was trash in order to become treasure. And so, and that's what the 1 Corinthians, that's what, you know, Paul's trying to share here is, you know, these guys who have all these, are equipped with all these gifts that, you know, Paul had set up this perfect chance for them to know the Lord, you know, and just set everything up. They kind of got sidetracked, just like I did. I got sidetracked in the world, and I was didn't know where I was, and so these guys are just they're young Christians, and some of them I think were just false converts just in general. So you know, we're going to go ahead and start out in chapter 12:1. I was just giving you a little backstory. I'm probably just rambling on, so let's just get into some prayer real quick one more time, and then we'll get into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity that you give me right now. And I pray that you would bless it. I would pray that you would just let the Holy Spirit enter me, and that what comes out of my mouth will be of you, Lord, that it will somehow touch everybody here, and maybe that I'll learn from it as well. Again, even though I've been studying this for the last 2 weeks. I just pray that it would bless everyone, and that it would just touch the hearts, and that we would apply it to our lives, and that we would go out and share it with everybody that we possibly can, Lord. So, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So, now concerning spiritual gifts. Well, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So he starts out already addressing the spiritual gifts, and he's addressed a lot of different things up to this point in 1 Corinthians about, you know, seeking that wisdom, that manly wisdom. They were suing each other. They were doing a lot of bad things that, you know, as a Christian body, a church body, you don't want to be doing. The sexual immorality, you know, worshiping the false gods, really taking the spiritual gifts and just narrowing them down to, well, if you speak in tongues, you're saved. We still have churches like that today. If you don't show signs of speaking in tongues, you're not really saved. It's not what Paul says. So, these guys have a lot. You know, they're young and as a church, and Paul is just trying to correct them in a very loving way. Even from the beginning, he doesn't persecute them. He's not persecuting them, and it's the same way with the Lord and us. A lot of times he's not persecuting us. He lets us go to the end of our line. He just gonna let them go. I'll love you. I'll respect your choice all the way out, and then you'll come to the end of your rope, and you're like, wow, did I make that many bad decisions? Yeah, you probably did. You wouldn't be there, because if it was up to the Lord, you wouldn't be there. Through Paul, he focuses on the love, mercy, grace of Jesus Christ right off the get-go in 1 Corinthians, and he's just, you know, wanting to lift these brothers up. He's just wanting to lift these brothers up, and I encourage you tonight, as I've read through the spiritual gifts, as I've realized so much that when I came in as a Christian and I didn't understand what all these spiritual gifts were, you know, Sheldon's telling me, oh, these spiritual gifts, they're awesome. I'm like, really? Where are they? You know, I want some of that. I want some of that. Give, you know, just bring it on over. Can I buy it? He's like, you just got to pray. You're going to pray. I remember talking to other brothers, you know, and they're just like, this young Christian, you know, he's just, you know, they got a smile on their face when I'm like, well, you know, I want my own ministry, you know? You know, this is just exciting stuff. Sheldon, he goes out every Saturday. You know, he's out there, you know, sharing the word of God. And I'm thinking, yeah. Well, I thought maybe because I did art, that art would be my ministry. God had different plans. It's so funny. I thought, well, sure. Surely he made me an artist for a reason. Well, yeah. More so to finally make me understand that I will be his paintbrush. And that I will be his tool. And I praise him for that. I praise him for always looking over me in the world when I was in the world, and that his grace and mercy falls on the righteous and the wicked. I praise God for that. So as we go on, you know, he's saying these spiritual gifts. So, you know, and this is just awesome because, you know, I encourage you all to look for those spiritual gifts within yourself. You may think that, you know, maybe, hey, I don't have a spiritual gift. You know, the Lord just kind of passed me up on that one. Nope. Sorry to say, guys, you know, I really came to realize that he gave me multiple spiritual gifts, and I just praise him. And I think the more we open ourselves to him and the more we allow ourselves to be used, the more spiritual gifts he can give us. I mean, some things, you know, you may never get. Some things may be not meant for you. But I'm telling you what, if you don't try, you don't know. And if you're not praying and if you're not allowing yourself, if you're not putting yourself out there to be stretched by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to find out, guys. Absolutely not. I wouldn't have found out that I was going to be a youth leader. I wasn't find out that I could play guitar, even though, you know, it's questionable. But I'm trying. I'm not saying I'm anybody because I'm not. I'm nobody. But what I am is I'm trying for the Holy Spirit. I'm trying, you know, having that mercy, trying to know people here. You know, I just, you know, just trying to love people, just letting Jesus just be a conduit, coming in one end and out the other. It's not easy, but you have to give it. If you say okay and you just keep on praying, less of me and more of you, Lord, he's going to use you. He is absolutely going to use you. But you got to give of yourself. How hard is it? It's really hard. We're prideful and we're set in our ways. And I think about all the time I've wasted. I've just wasted so much time, guys. So, you know, let's give back to the Lord. If we know he's done what he's done for us, then let's give back. And so and that's what he's saying. Don't be ignorant, guys. So you know that you were Gentiles. And Gentiles in this particular context means unlearned. Gentiles you're unlearned. That they were beneath. Even into the Jews, the Gentiles were beneath, even though God's plan is for all of us. Back then, commentary. The Gentiles, it meant that they were unlearned. So carried away to these dumb idols. And dumb idols, I mean, if we look back to the idolatry even, you know, if they would, I mean, it's kind of a reference to the First Corinthians who knew their Old Testament. If they knew the old teachings, you know, First Kings with like Elijah, Isaiah, you know, they all dealt, I mean, you can go on and on with the false gods, Moses, you know, all that battle between these guys, you know, Baal and Molech, you know, these false gods, you know, they're sacrificing kids to and everything else. I mean, and you know, today, you know, people say, well, we don't do that today, but we do. I mean, what? I mean, there's people that would sell their kids for, you know, $1 million. I mean, have you ever seen, like, people who, like, have their kids go into show business? How wrong and just sick and twisted that is. I mean, my kid will do anything. You know, just get them up there. Just, you know, sell them. They'll just sell them. Sell them for a price. I mean, the kids have no business being put. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about show business, but or the entertainment industry, but it's a very cutthroat business. And don't we idolize those people? Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, you name it. You know, all the women like to buy those little magazines. You know, I mean, I have them in my own house. I know. I'm not blaming Becky. No, but I'm just, I mean, you know, it's fun and it's all fun and games, but some people, they just, you know, there's a deal where you can just go too far where, you know, where people are wanting to model their lives out of them rather than God. And what do they see those people have? Money, huge homes, good looks. But where's the fulfillment? In the end, Dade was just talking about it last Wednesday, about the seventh richest man in the world. How he had everything, but had nothing. He was empty. I mean, I thought I had it all. I mean, granted, I didn't have riches, but, you know, I could drink whenever I wanted. I could do anything I wanted. I just, you know, I had a roof over my head. I wasn't really, you know, I was never one to care for money. That wasn't my weakness. But my idols were other things. My idol was art, creating things in my name. And so, you know, when we put those things in front of God, you know, it's the same thing as these things. So, you know, be careful and don't be ignorant. Don't go off being ignorant. That's all I got to say. I have other words for that, but not here. So, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And isn't that true? And see, and he's going back. He's kind of referencing to these speaking in tongues. You know, they get wrapped up in these things, and people hear. And this is commentary again. That it's making reference to a person truly speaking by the means of the Holy Spirit will never curse Jesus. By the same token, no one can genuinely proclaim the lordship of Christ without the enabling of the Spirit. It is possible that some of the Corinthians were giving supposed Spirit-induced utterances in which they denigrated the physical or historical Jesus in favor of a spiritual heavenly Christ, which is an early form of Gnosticism. And also, if you've heard of the cosmic Christ, which is in the New Age belief, there's nothing new under the sun. All the way from back then, however it evolves, whatever, it's all false. You know, that's what he's saying. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God, I mean, and anybody who truly has the Holy Spirit, there's no way we could speak bad or illy of our Savior. I mean, it doesn't happen. And then they're like, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Well, now some people will tell you, well, what about those evangelists on TV? They're talking about the Holy Spirit, and they get away with this, and they look like, you know, they got their Bible in their hand. Yeah, but in their hearts, nobody can fool God. We don't have to worry about it. Our judgment doesn't matter anyway. So that Holy Spirit, you know, if it's in us, then we can't curse him. We can't curse the Lord, I mean, if we really have it. So, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, when they were uttering in their tongues, you know, probably just wild stuff came out of their mouth. I can't even imagine. I mean, these people are probably half drunk. You know, I mean, that's what they were doing. They were partying, getting loaded, getting into the tongues, whatever. You know, I don't see that there is any kind of, you know, true, the Holy Spirit's not there. And Paul sees that, and that's what he's warning them of. So it goes on, and it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And it's true. Where one person you know, goes into youth. Another person goes into street evangelism. Another person becomes an elder. You know, whatever the case is, it's all different ministries, but we are under the same God. We're under the same Spirit. And, I mean, praise God. So, you know, even though people, you know, have those diversities of those gifts, I mean, it's still under the same Spirit. And so it goes on to talk about that there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So praise God that his street evangelism, and as I'm seeing, you know, all ministries, they intrinsically work together. We're all part, and it's awesome the way, and it goes on here as when we get into unity and diversity of the body. Lord uses the analogy of the human body to say, you know, well, you have to have like the hands and the eye, you know, and just, you know, if you're a hand, you don't want to be an eye, because, you know, you be thankful for what the Lord has given you. He wants to work beside you. He's letting you work beside him. And so what he gives you, don't covet somebody else's gift, which goes on to in chapter 13, when it would do all these gifts in love. Any gift that you have that the Lord will bring forth to you, do it in love. Let it be discerning by the love of Jesus Christ. And so, as it goes on, it says that, and these are the diverse, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, to the word, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So here we have wisdom as being one gift, the word of wisdom. The other one is the word of knowledge. So the word of wisdom, that's pretty good. I mean, if you read the word and you're praying and you're in prayer, you're going to be wise. I mean, you're going to start getting wise to what the Lord considers wisdom. That's a pretty sweet gift too. I mean, you know, it's actually wisdom is the God proclaims that if you ask for wisdom, that he will give it to you. So if you guys, you know, if you want to ask for ask the Lord for, you know, a gift or something, you can start by asking for wisdom. That's what I did. It was something that just came, you know, to me first out of all the things that I started learning about. I kind of learned the hard way. I didn't know about this passage of spiritual gifts when I first became a Christian. And it's just because I needed to learn the gospel and a lot of other things before I really got to this. And finally, when I did get to it, it was just like, oh, wow. And it was so funny how the Lord had just kind of guided me in, even though I didn't know about it. It's just beautiful how he works that way. And so it goes on, and I think it's awesome that if after wisdom, then he gives knowledge. You know, there's also the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to other gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Some people can heal people. That's beyond me. But I know that there are people who can do it. People can lay hands and heal people. Don't sell the living God short. He can do anything. He just loves us so much. He lets us go out. He just lets us do what we're going to do. And he let his only son die for us. He gave us everything. And he gives us all these gifts. And it's great. So, you know, what we do, we become Christians, and then we just sit down. Say, wow, this is it, man. This is awesome. No, man. This is not it. This is not just it. After you accept the Lord and if you realize that there's gifts that have been given, exercise those gifts. If you're not exercising your gifts, you're going backwards, guys. I mean, I'm not trying to be hardcore or anything, but what are you doing if you're not exercising the gifts that God has given you? I mean, I have to ask myself that same question so I can continually make myself available, so I will continually want to keep on being stretched. You can't give up. I look at Pastor Al. Here he is, retired. Just, you know, he could just be sitting back. They could have gave him that call, and he could have just been like, well, sorry, suckers. He could have. And he goes, I don't know these guys from anything. You know, I'm retired. I'm sorry, guys. I just, you know, the Lord says, no, I'm retired. No, he didn't say that. He did not say that. The Lord was still using, and I mean, it doesn't give you that, that gives me encouragement that, you know, at the age of where, you know, whatever age he's at, that after being retired, can still have that fire for Christ. Don't lose it. That's why he gives us these gifts so we can have that encouragement. And, you know, one of those gifts that we're going to talk about is, you know, exhortation. Lifting each other up. Even criticizing one another from time to time. Sharpening that iron. And so, you know, that's the thing. It's so encouraging. It's so encouraging. It's not over till it's over. Not until the race is won. And I just, I encourage everybody, don't be just satisfied with now and what this is. God has so much more for you guys. I promise you. I promise you, he's got so much more for you guys. And so, to another, so it talks about healing by the same Spirit, and to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning the spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues, which leads us also to, if you have somebody speaking tongues, someone else should be able to interpret those things. If there's somebody that cannot interpret it, it's gibberish. I'm sorry, that's, I mean, Paul will go on to say, if you read in to Prophecy in Tongues, which is chapter 14, he'll give you the whole lowdown on that. So I encourage you to read that because we're not going to get that far. So, and that's, we should be in the Word. We should be reading this. We should be reading this all the time, not just here at church. I tell my kids that all the time. They're just like, yeah, I know. It's so hard. It is. I'm not saying this. I mean, the enemy doesn't want us to be effective. The enemy doesn't want us to exercise our gifts. Why? Because someone else might get saved. It's bad enough that we got saved or I got saved. I can't speak for the rest of everybody else. I don't know what's in everybody else's heart, but I can speak for myself. It's a war. And my spiritual gifts sometimes, I mean, you'll go out, I've always got tracts in my pocket. Some people I'll give them to, and other people, I mean, I want to, and then they go by. Whew, man, I don't have to give them one. You know, but it's not that. It's not that. It's just the enemy really didn't want me to touch that person, come in, and didn't want Jesus touching that person. Because Jesus probably has a real amazing gift to give him and a real amazing journey for him, just like he had for me, just like he has for everybody. And that he will make us more than effective if we allow ourselves to be effective. So, it goes on, so we talk about, you know, the tongues and all that, and that's where the Corinthians were really stuck on that whole tongues deal. And so he's warning them against it, you know, but he's also telling them that there has to be an interpreter. So, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It's always God's will. Love it. Whatever he wills, he knows what's best for us. Don't go against it. Pray for it. Ask about it. Ask him for his wisdom. He'll give you knowledge. And when he gives you that knowledge, when he gives you that wisdom, just be still. Just let know that he is God. Know that he'll work in you, and it's going to be in his will. And he's going to give you those gifts. He's going to give you gifts you didn't even want to have, maybe. You'll just be like, whoa, where'd that come from? I didn't necessarily want to do that, Lord. And he'll be like, no, you want to do this now. You're going to do this. And are you going to be obedient? I mean, you look at through the Old Testament, total obedience is total victory. Joshua. I mean, it's just, you see it time and time again in the Old Testament, and you see it now. I mean, and that's the thing. People don't realize, you go out and you know, you tell people you're a Christian, and, you know, you're like, you know, try to make somebody in the world understand that the more you allow Christ to do the work that he's done to purify you and sanctify you, the more he can give you gifts and the more he can... He's giving you while he's giving you. He's giving you from one end, he's giving you from the other end. He's giving you, and you're full of gifts and blessings. We should all be smiling, guys. We should all be happy. We should all be praising God. It's awesome. It's awesome. We're getting give. There's nothing that we are doing. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's just, it blows my mind. Every time I get to thinking about it, it blows my mind. So I'm just, you know, I'd like, you know, everybody to ponder that every day. When they wake up, when they go to sleep, just ponder it. Everything that you have has been given. There's nothing that you did to gain any of it. Physically, spiritually, none of it. So for we go into unity and diversity in our one body. And for as the body, I'm going to see where we're at. I got to get to 13. So for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Christ. So, you know, it gives us an understanding of that triune God, that he's many, but he's one, and he's one and he's many. And same is he's made the church body, and it's the same way the Holy Spirit comes out to many. He's of the same spirit, but he touches all of us. Anybody who asks him in can have a piece of it. He can walk with all of us, yet be one. We don't get it. We don't totally comprehend it, but it's true because he says so. So, I mean, you know, you just have to have, if you can believe, was it you? Somebody told me, if you can believe the first line of the Bible, that God created the heavens and the earth, then you can, the rest is easy. The rest is easy. So, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And we were baptized in the Spirit when we ask that Holy Spirit into our lives, and it makes it renews us, and it makes us an eternal being, brings us out of this dead being that would have died the second death. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member but many. And it's just, wow. So, you know, he just keeps on giving, you just gotta love Paul. You know, he really wants it to sink in. He really, I mean, analogy, and even with Jesus, you see him when he's talking about being the bread of life, and I mean, you know, he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and they're like, wow, this guy's crazy. You know, they just, you know, they thought he was not all there. You know, he was losing people walking away because they're thinking that, you know, he was talking about cannibalism of some sort. I don't know. It's just wild. But, you know, he had to break it down. He's always dumbing it down. Lord, he's always dumbing it down for us. Because, I mean, we don't want to get it. We're stubborn. We're hard-hearted. And it's just, and then, you know, his disciples are like, this is a hard words for us to understand. He's like, you know, and he has to completely separate it. Look at, you know, bread of life, you know, physical, spiritual. His whole ministry was trying to show people, this is all you know, which is physical. I'm bringing a different kingdom, spiritual kingdom. And here we are, just, you know, Paul doing the same thing, having that Holy Spirit, trying to show him, you know, through physical means, a spiritual victory, a spiritual end that is just better, that's excellent. It's much more excellent than being in the world. And so, So the Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? So, yeah, it would be like my hand saying, well, I'm not part of you anymore. I mean, if it, you know, was... had its own ascension brain and everything, and just decided not to want to be part of me, and that's the thing. You can't, it can't, just because it's a hand, it can't just, you know, I'd have to cut it off. It can't just decide it wants to leave. I mean, it's all part of one body. It's all part of, and that's why I try to tell, like, you know, when I'm telling, you know, a Muslim about the Trinity. They're like, well, you worship more than one. It's idolatry, believing that Jesus was God. You're like, no. You see this? See this? It's as simple as the hand. It's one. It's five fingers. Same. It's one hand. They're all on that one hand. They're like, I don't know. You're taking the easy way out. But that's another story. So anyway, they don't, you know, they're very stubborn people, and they just, the answers are all in front of them. And the answers, it was in front of me one time. The answers were in front of, you know, the Corinthians. And, you know, he's trying to show them that that we're all part of, we have a unity even though we're diverse. We have a unity even though we have different spiritual attributes, and that we're all different individually. We're all part of one. We're all part of one. We're all, that's why we should love one another. That's why we should be looking after one another. That's why we need to be taking care of one another. And it's going to go on to tell you that. And so we just got through that. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye and I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. It's those rhetorical questions that get me. I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And so if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? So here we're just, it's showing that all functions, all the different functions of the body are all equally as important, and we need each other. The hearing is in order, we have to have all our senses in order to be able to move forward as a church, as to be able to move forward as a body. We can't just have just one ministry. I mean, who would take care of the building? Who would take care of the kids in the nursery? Who would, you know, I mean, it would just, it doesn't work. It's a multifaceted. And so, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, no need of you, nor again the hand to the feet, and I have no need to say I have no need for you. So we can't tell one another, you know, every ministry is just as important, guys. I mean, you may think that, you know, mopping the floors, you know, is, you know, the least of all ministries. No, man, those floors, it's where people's hearts are at in the ministry. They're all just as important, because if they're there to glorify God, then that is what it's about. And it all makes everything work. We don't come in. I mean, have you ever walked in somewhere and the floor is all muddy? I don't know if you'd want to go back. If it's, everything's all dirty, everything's all, I mean, and, you know, it's just, if you see things that are just, you know, that are unpleasant to the eye, you know, a lot of times physical appearance is what's radiating from our inside, what is projecting from our inside. You know, you go to someone's house and start looking around their house, what they have, how they live, you probably kind of learn what's kind of going on inside their heart and how they are. We don't realize how much we project from the inside of ourselves. And I didn't realize it until after I was saved how much evil I projected, how much darkness I projected. It's insane. So we really need to be, you know, we need to pray for that wisdom and that knowledge, that we will see ourselves in that light. That we'll see ourselves in that true light, and that our ministry will be in that true light. So much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. When was the last time that one of your Christian members that you knew were hurting and were in pain, or you knew that, you know, make sure that you go up to them and let them know you care. Go up there and ask them what you can do for them. You don't have to give them $1 million, man. Just let them know you care. Let them know you love them. I mean, you know, you see a lot of people just walk by people here in this church sometimes. I'm not saying everybody. But I'm saying you see it, and there's no reason for it. We're in one body. We're in one ministry. We need to be loving one another. This is something I'm teaching the chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. And when you start reading the attributes of God's love, not love that the world taught us, but the love that God gives us, we need to be focused on that. And we need to be focused on projecting that to one another. I encourage you guys, I know that chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, it's everybody knows it. But I would encourage you to read it again and again and again, because if love is what God is, then surely we do not understand it. Not completely. If it is all that is, you know, what makes God, and it's what makes everything and holds everything together, we don't even grasp the slightest of it. So please read it again and again and again. I encourage you to do it. I encourage it that it will bring you at a point where you are going to ask for that wisdom, that you're going to ask for, that you're going to seek those gifts, and that you're going to use those gifts. So now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, all are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. So here he is, you know, he's saying, now you're the body of Christ, the members individually. And God has appointed these in the church first. So he's showing you a order in which, you know, that they all serve a function. There's all a functionality to the body. And so, you know, he has a little bit of a hierarchy there, but they're all just as important. They're all to be recognized. It's all part of the body. And, you know, it's just something we all need to recognize. I mean, we have to recognize one another. We have to recognize these ministries of wisdom, faith, special teaching gifts, supernatural ability to help, the gift of exhortation, the ability to give with liberality, divine power to show mercy. You know what, guys? Being a mother, raising children, that is a ministry. People don't realize ministry's under their nose. Ministry is just in your palm of your hands every day. The people you're passing on the street, it's there. God's handing it to you left and right and left and right. Every second you have an opportunity to glorify Him. What's stopping us? Well, I mean, the enemy's stopping us. I mean, we're letting him. I mean, but who's more powerful? The enemy? I mean, it says one day we're going to look at him, you know, when it's all over and say, this is the guy who threatened us? This is the guy who deceived nations? Come on, man. Remind him of his future. Stand up. God gave you a backbone. I mean, just, you know, pray and just let him straighten you up, right? Let him be your power. Let him be the one to work in your life. Let him be your all in all. So I just close that, you know, desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And so he shows you that with the discernment of love, because 13 goes along with this, and I'm going to cut it and I'm going to end it now. And thank you for bearing with me, guys. I wish that I had time to teach on love. Because it's something that has been so gracious to me and to all of you. And we need to keep that in focus. And when you look for those spiritual gifts and you're looking to move forward and to glorifying the kingdom in God and just going on into your daily lives, pray first and foremost that love be the discerning factor in which you move through those things. I pray for all you guys. I my heart goes out. I love this church. I love the people here. So much. I can't express enough how much I care. It's really intense. It's really intense. And I just thank God that He gave me the opportunity to just be in his kingdom, to be just have a little, just a shaving of anything. It's just plenty of enough for me. It's plenty enough for me. I'm just going to close in prayer. God bless you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you. I just am in love with you so much, Lord. I just pray that you just do a mighty work in these guys' lives that came here tonight to hear your word, that want to know more about you, that you would just do that work that the gospel, this word tells us about, these gifts, these awesome gifts that you give all of us, Lord, that, you know, each one's different, but they're all just as important, and some of the lesser even more, and the first will be last, and the last will be first. I just pray, Lord, that we would understand that it's not the world's thinking, but you would give us that understanding about your spiritual kingdom and your understanding and the way you want things. Father, just open our hearts to this. Lord, I just pray that you would keep these people safe as they go home tonight, and just continue just to do your will in their lives, that they may be fruitful, Father. I thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804 or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.